Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Gosh, isn't it nice to continue to be winning? And how great was that press conference? I mean, that's what happens when you wear sweatpants to a meeting in the White House. And then you act like an entitled little twat. You get sent packing. Happy you joined us tonight here at your local liberal resistance headquarters. Oh, we are packed tonight. The phone lines are already ready. The liberals are fired up. They are a fired up. Trust me, you should see the social media posts. Pleased to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. There's a ton of things we're going to get to tonight. We've got a very busy show. I would love to talk about, cutting off aid to Ukraine, let them fight their own fight. We'll talk. Well, let me tell you, next Sunday we're going to be live from Topeka again. Looking forward to that. We'll be broadcasting live from Topeka, thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. Coming up this Friday, newly elected Kansas GOP Vice Chair Andy Hoosier and I will be hosting a roundtable discussion at the weekly Pachyderm Club lunch. Andy and I do this once a year. We always have fun when we host these sessions. So make sure you show up for the Pachyderm Club lunch. You can find information on that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And also, don't forget, the tickets are selling out fast for the 2025 Kansans for Life banquet at Park City Arena with Rachel Campos Duffy from Fox News. That's the wife of our new Secretary of Transportation. If you haven't got your tickets yet, you can find them at KFL.org. And speaking of the new chair, congratulations to Denedry Herbert, Andy Hoosier, Amantha Schuyler, and Roger Lomchek on their victory this weekend. And we have new leadership. I'm so excited to see them lead our Kansas Republican Party and the great base that we have in a new direction. So congrats to them. Tonight, we've got a busy show. Earlier this afternoon, I had an exclusive interview with Senator Roger Marshall. We talked about what happened at his town hall in Oakley. We talked about immigration. We talked about Doge, about the farm bill, whole bunch of stuff about why out of Washington, D.C. We'll play that for you to kick off our 8 o'clock hour. In light of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's decision to restore Fort Bragg's name, we'll talk with Air Force Colonel Josh McConkie about his thoughts on the renaming. Author and filmmaker John West will tell us why he says America's Christian leaders are failing and what, if anything, we can do about it. Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will join us to bring us an update on their recent legislative victories and some of their upcoming events. Former Assistant U.S. Attorney John O'Connor will tell us why he says President Trump was right to order lawyers helping illegal migrant children facing deportation to stop all their work. And Senate President Ty Masterson will bring us our Under the Dome legislative update from Topeka. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. say, you know, if you saw the video of Dr. Marshall's town hall, it got a little bit out of hand, in part because some of the folks didn't understand the concept of civility. I get, you know, we agree to disagree. If you've got issues with someone, you know, a politician who's talking, you can disagree, but you don't have to be a jerk about it. And I want to take a moment to address something that has been weighing heavily on my heart, and something that I know is deeply important to many of us. And we've been witnessing this over the past few years. Now that Donald Trump is back in office, we're starting to see Trump derangement syndrome back. We now have Elon derangement syndrome. We've got Vance derangement syndrome. And it's a disturbing trend in our political discourse. It's not just the disagreements that are growing. It's the division, the hostility, the lack of civility in the way we talk to one another. We saw it with Dr. Marshall in Oakley. If you watch the video, he answers their questions. They don't like the answer and immediately call bullpucky. He gives them facts directly from a source and they say, that's not true. Well, how do you know that's not true? You don't know. You're just saying it's not true. Well, folks, saying it doesn't make it true. And the lack of civility and the way we talk to each other, especially when we don't agree, that's hostile. And some may not know exactly what I'm referring to with the state. This is happening, by the way. It happened in the state party leadership race. And you may not know what I'm referring to with the state party leadership race. But trust me, it was vile. It got to a point where people were bringing race into it. And the toxic rhetoric, the highly negative rhetoric that was used in the Kansas GOP leadership race from Republicans directed at fellow Republicans over the state party race is, I mean, look, Democrats can do this nonsense, but we in particular should be better than this. And frankly, I think we've had enough. The kind of conversations, and I've been guilty of this in the past, so I recognize I too have been guilty of this, and I need to do better. But the kind of conversations we used to have where we could disagree, even passionately, yet still maintain mutual respect, seem to be slipping away. Now it seems like the goal of debate is less about understanding and finding solutions and more about winning at every cost, often by humiliating or demonizing the other side. And this is not the way forward. This is not the kind of party, or for that matter, the kind of country that I think we want to be as conservatives, as Republicans, and for that matter, even as Democrats. We should believe in the power of debate, in the strength of ideas, and the importance of maintaining respect for others, even when we stand at odds. Think back, if you will, to the great debates of history. I'm not talking about the petty squabbles. I'm talking about the kinds of debates that shaped our world. Winston Churchill, one of the greatest statesmen of the 20th century, was known for being a great debater. And it wasn't his intellect or his oratory skills. It was his ability to disagree with his opponents fiercely, but still treat them with dignity. He understood that when the stakes are high, when the stakes are the survival of a nation, we must still find ways to bridge our differences, not deepen them. And by the way, I know I too suffer from this affliction at times. And again, I will try to rise above my own weaknesses and pettiness in this regard, particularly on social media. But we all need to reclaim that tradition, that Churchillian tradition. We need to stop thinking of those who disagree with us as enemies to be vanquished and start seeing them as fellow citizens with whom we can engage. Margaret Thatcher, another great conservative leader, once said, being powerful is like being a lady. If you have to tell people you are, you aren't. Power or strength in debate doesn't come from belittling others or lowering yourself to their level. It comes from the ability to articulate your views with clarity and confidence without having to tear down the other person in the process. And it is possible to find common ground. I know. I was able to do that in Topeka. Some of the best legislation I ever passed was in partnership with some of the people from the opposite side of the aisle. And you have to find common ground, even with those with whom you disagree. but only if we're willing to try. Only if we're willing to approach one another with a spirit of humility and understanding. We want our children to have a better future. We want to have a safe and secure nation. There are things we can agree upon. And we may differ on the means to achieve these goals, but the goals themselves are shared. The conservative traditions of respect for tradition, for institutions, and for the rule of law, we share these things. We can disagree on policy, but we should always be able to agree on the fabric of this nation and respect for others. And if we lose that respect, we lose our way. We live in a time when social media amplifies every disagreement, every harsh word, every insult. It's easy to hide behind a screen or a microphone and take pot shots at others. But that's not the way to build a nation. That's not how we preserve our democracy. If we're going to move forward together, we need to rediscover the art of respectful disagreement. It's okay to stand firm in our beliefs. It's okay to stand strong in the face of opposition, but we have to do so with respect. It's time to bring civility back to our discourse. And I know, I've been an elected official. I know how it works. I've been around politics for decades. I'm sure we get exasperated now and then with each other, but that's just the friction of freedom. There's a famous story about Ronald Reagan and Democrat House Speaker Tip O'Neill. One day, Reagan was particularly frustrated with Tip. So he called him and said, "Tip, I thought we had a good relationship going." And then Ronnie read a news story and Tip and told him he was frustrated with him. And Tip said, "Well, old buddy, that's just politics. But after 6 o'clock, we're friends." After that, Reagan started wearing a watch that was permanently set to 6 p.m. Let's commit ourselves once again to the ideals that have made this country great. Let's be the voice of reason in a time of division. Let's be the leaders of civility, of respect, and of common ground. And let's remember, after 6 o'clock, we can still be friends. We'll take a quick break, and then former Assistant Attorney General John O'Connor will tell us why he says President Trump was right to order lawyers helping migrant children facing deportation to stop work. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP is hosting an exciting rally coming up with Congressman Ron Estes as part of the Prosperity Initiative. It's coming up next Saturday, the 8th. If you want to make your voice heard, a great way to do so is to get involved with the folks at AFP. For more information, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So legal services groups that offer representation and guidance to thousands of migrant children facing deportation said recently that they were abruptly directed by the Trump administration to halt their government-funded work. I'm personally trying to figure out the downside to this story, but with us now to tell us why he says President Trump was right to order lawmakers to stop this is former Assistant U.S. Attorney John O'Connor. John, thank you for joining us. It's nice to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
So, John, if I understand the story, U.S. taxpayer dollars were being used to offer legal advice to illegals to fight deportation. I mean, it's that's kind of dumbing it down, but consider the source here. Look, isn't this exactly what 77 million Americans voted for, John?
Well, yeah. You know, remember, these people aren't even being charged with a crime. I mean, you could right. make an argument if you issued charges against these folks for being illegal immigrants, which you could do, then they would have a right under the law like anybody else to a public defender, and that's great.
Exactly.
But they haven't been charged with a crime. So really what the lawyers are supposed to do is fight the government's wishes. That's all they're doing. They are hiring somebody to counteract what the citizens in the United States want. So it has nothing to do with the Constitution. It's like saying, look, if the tax man comes, knocks on my door and says, hey, Mr. O'Connor, you haven't paid, you owe us $5,000. I'd say, well, yeah, could you go hire me a lawyer, please?
Right, exactly. That's actually a great analogy. It would be like me expecting the IRS to hire an attorney to fight my fight with the IRS over my taxes.
That's exactly it. And, you know, that doesn't make any sense. It's completely illogical, and it just shows you the extent to which the sort of the progressive idea of what morality is, I suppose, and what you need to do to be hip and cool is the only way I would say it. It ends up being absurd. So you need to be sensitive to somebody who has gender dysphoria. That's fine.
Right.
But do you allow a 6'4" male in the ring to beat the hell out of your daughter?
Right.
I think that's going too far.
And then do you use taxpayer dollars to defend him while he's still sued?
Exactly.
This contract pause then forces these nonprofits, if they wish to continue doing this immigration work, they would then have to use their own funds to continue representing these migrant kids in immigration court. Look, don't get me wrong. I do not disagree with having legal representation. If they feel they want it, or if they want to fight, whatever, if they're going to get deported, or if they want, fine. They should have to come up with that. These nonprofits should then have to go fundraise to do this work. What I disagree with is U.S. taxpayers paying for it.
Well, that's right. And that's another thing you bring up. To the extent that, you know, the NGOs who are in the business of, you know, providing services to the indigent and all that stuff, I think we've got to look at this pretty closely, because if any of those people are providing services for this kind of stuff, it's got to be cut off. We can't be giving funding nonprofits. We've gone too far. I mean, we are basically paying money to defeat ourselves.
Right.
And that is the big problem.
We're talking with former Assistant U.S. Attorney John O'Connor. Opponents, and it means Trump, so there are lots of them, they say the Trump administration is endangering the due process rights of these children. Again, I'll go back to what you said initially. They haven't been charged with anything, so how are we endangering their due process rights?
Well, everybody has due process rights, like I say, I have due process rights if you want to collect money from me for the tax man. That's the best analogy you can come up with. And in that case, at least I'm a citizen. At least I've paid some money.
Good point.
So everybody's got due process rights. Sure, anytime the government's involved, you have due process rights. That doesn't mean they get a lawyer. The reason you get a lawyer under the Constitution is because under the Eighth Amendment, you have a right to counsel. And, you know, that's been interpreted, and I don't have any problem with the interpretation, is that you want to make sure that that a person charged with a crime has a defense. So that's sort of been a judge interpreted rule, and I don't disagree with it. And so therefore we have a very vibrant public defender program throughout the country, federal and state. So that's good. But we can't confuse the two. Now we're going in a case in which you're talking about civil wrongs.
Right.
And that's ridiculous. So, okay. Even on traffic citations, I think that's probably even a little bit going too far on this. I think probably you could say that you have a right to a public defender for a traffic citation, but I don't think you have one. I don't think that's considered serious enough, and that's quasi-criminal. You don't get that. You don't get the businessman who's filing his SEC registration doesn't get one. He's got due process rights. Everybody's got due process rights. But of all things, we're not giving them to the regular citizens that do pay their taxes and pay the government, you know, where the government gets the money to pay for this. All of the various things that citizens have to deal with are oppressive. We've got an oppressive government.
Right.
And a lot of the things that they're doing, I mean, if you have a puddle, if you have a ranch or something, you get winter puddling in there, you may have to deal with the EPA. But that's your expense, and it's the government is burdening us, but we don't, you know, the government doesn't have to pay our legal bills, even though it's maybe unjust that they're doing this. Now, you go to the illegal immigration, there's nothing overly burdensome about saying, hey, you can't come into the country unless we let you. That's a completely fair law. It has always been recognized as fair. And yet we're paying those people that aren't even citizens and don't pay taxes, and we're using our tax dollars to defend them in what essentially is a civil matter.
Right.
Whereas all of the other things, you name all the other things that the government touches our lives with, and we don't get the government to pay us money, you know, and we're taxpayers. So it just shows you the progressive way of thinking that turns common sense on its head and doesn't make any sense.
The tax analogy is the perfect one. If you have to fight the IRS, you have to pay those bills yourself. And this is a why the federal taxpayer dollars are being used to defend these folks is irrelevant, is asinine. And I'm glad that the Trump administration is putting an end to it. John, if folks want to connect with you, they can find you at JOC, John O'Connor, JOC Law. .com,
well,
correct?
Well, no, actually, that's my business address.
Okay. What's the best way to connect with you? May need a lawyer, man.
Exactly. You never know. No, I've got a good site that's got a lot of good articles and my book stuff and so forth. And people have fun reading my articles. I've got a bunch of them. It's postgatebook.com.
Postgatebook.com.
Yeah, that'll do it, John.
Perfect. John, I appreciate you. John, I feel like we're on a Chevy Chase movie. John, I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us, my friend.
Okay. Take care, John. See you.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll bring you our weekly Under the Dome legislative update from Topeka with Senate President Ty Masterson. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. You know, Phil, what are we going to do when she's gone and we can't play our Laura Kelly theme song anymore? I tell you. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll have to retire it. I won't mind. Trust me. On 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I think I already said that. Excuse me. We've got, if you ever miss an episode of The John Whitmer Show, don't worry about it. Just download the always free Odyssey app and get started. You can download it there. Different clips, whole episodes, different segments. You can find it all there at the Odyssey app, wherever you find your apps. Every week during the legislative session, we try and bring you our legislative Under the Dome legislative update, kind of bring you the whatever happened they did over the previous week and a preview of what's coming up in the next week. With us this week is Senate President Ty Masterson, back from a long road trip to Goodland. It was nice to see you and your better half in Goodland this weekend, brother. Nice to see you. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thanks for having me. I always refer to her as my better 9/10 because I'm a numbers guy.
You're also a man who understands happy wife, happy life.
So, amen.
let me ask you. So, and it's been, we were going to have you on last week, but we got preempted by the ball game. And last week, the House sent you their budget. I'm curious if you had a chance to take a look at it, what your initial thoughts were on that, on what the House sent over.
That's actually a really good question. I've kind of poured through it over the last weekend and this one, because it's a unique process we're doing now, right? Where the House takes it first and then we look at their work product. And, I was glad to see they reduced it quite a bit.
Right.
I am finding a few things in there that I don't think I can blame the House for. I think things that were embedded when I was running through that, I actually found like $67 million that's being demand transferred to K-12 that we're not even getting credit for. So I'm thinking, how's this even in here? What do we should at least be getting credit for everything that's coming on. So we have some things to look at, right? I mean, we have an opportunity to even reduce it further or prioritize. So, But hey, we've got only 6 weeks left in session, so we've got some work to do.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned schools. I was reading through parts of the budget, and I found Democrats tried removing funding for the Safe and Secure Schools Initiative. I mean, you would think Democrats would actually want to prevent school shootings, but they voted against funding in there. I mean, it's they're so hypocritical on some of this stuff. It's just laughable. And yet, of course, you guys will be demonized for not adequately funding schools. And yet here you have Democrats voting against funding to prevent school shootings.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself, right? The hypocrisy. They want anything in that vein to be kind of the cherry on top, over and above everything else you're already putting in.
Right, right. So turnaround, for our audience that may not be familiar, it's when the House sends all the stuff they've been working on over to the Senate. Senate does the same. The highlight, although, of the week was the veto override. I haven't had a chance to talk to you about that. I mean, that was, how many times did our middle-of-the-road governor defend, you know, biological males competing in women's and women's sports? And then she defended this process, which was the allowing the procedures in Kansas so you could have minor children being operated on, having these barbaric processes done. Finally, both chambers were able to override it here a week or ago. Congrats on that.
Well, thank you. I mean, that is the key. They'd have you believe we're talking about even adults, but we're only talking about children, right? I mean, this is, and I can't believe it took us 3 years. I got criticized for saying, oh, this went way too fast. We've done this 3 years in a row. And this has not been too fast. Had people want me to leverage it for other things, I said, we're not leveraging this. We've got children on this conveyor belt. We are casting this vote. And it was the first real test of kind of the new Republican caucus after this wonderful, I want to say the big, beautiful election, right, that we just had. It was literally, I mean, the electorate. And by the way, thank you to your audience. Thank you to everybody out there that helped turn Laura Kelly from a brick wall to a speed bump when it comes to things like this. I mean, it was like, okay, as soon as we sent it to her, boom, veto. And we're like, okay, bump, we're over. Let's go. We're gonna protect these children no matter what you say. So, that was a huge thing. We did, and turnaround. That's a good. We sent them some other things that I fully anticipate vetoes on around elections. We sent them into that extra quote unquote 3 day grace period. Make Election Day. We sent them get rid of the Biden bucks, federal money that can do elections. I mean, she'll veto those. I'll be anxious to see. I hope the House processes those quickly because the session will end quickly, and we want a real opportunity to override those.
I was glad to see that end of the 3 days. I mean, look at the school bond. We've been waiting to the end of last week to find, or excuse me, the end of this week to find the results on the school bond. And, right. You know, I mean, Florida can count their entire election in one day, and we can't do a school board election, a school bond initiative. We have to wait till Friday for a Tuesday result.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another thing the Senate has sent many times, and we've just not been able to get it over the hump. An interesting one we sent them that actually is relevant is we sent them how we appoint U.S. Senate seats.
I saw that.
So that hit me. It hit me like a ton of bricks. The last time I was on 5243, the flight, you know, our direct Wichita, I was literally on that flight with Roger Marshall and Jerry Moran. And I thought, wait, if that would have been the plane that went down, Laura Kelly could appoint two Democrats. Mm-hmm. And if we'd have had the position we'd have been in prior election where you were 51-49, you literally could have had one plane change the balance of power in the United States. So we advanced that one to the front and got that one across to the House as well.
And that one, just from what I'm understanding, that'll be an interesting one. I'll be curious to see how that goes. By the way, we're talking with Senate President Ty Masterson. I saw another one another concurrent resolution that would deal with H.R. 5008 that would protect basically from burdensome rules and regulations. Now, that's a concurrent resolution. Have you seen that one yet?
That's coming. Yeah, we just read that one in. And there's a series of, on that note, you know, constitutional amendments that are coming.
Right.
We sent the House judicial elections, right, the selection of Supreme Court. You
which,
know, the,
which is just going to go to direct elect, right? Puts power
yes,
in the people.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And the more I looked at that, I used to be a heavy supporter of the federal model, and I still am. The federal model will be much better than what we have. You know, we're the only state in the nation that gives this superpower to lawyers, right, to make that decision. Doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat.
Right.
The bar has the majority, and they'll send what they get. And the more I looked at it, you think about it, we're used to it down in Sedgwick County, right? We elect our district judges. We've not had this, and it shows that we have high merit with even our elected judges and really just having the people have a voice And so right now they have no voice at all. I mean, there's no Senate confirmation. There is nothing.
Right.
Unless you're an attorney that has a vote to put the superpower lawyer on the NOMCOM, you have no voice at all in that. And we, the people, should have a voice who sits on top of every single branch of government, right? We elect our governor, we elect our legislature, and but we don't have that in the judicial branch. We have the most, you know, kind of the secret club of lawyers that set that person in place, and we've got to change that.
Yeah, you have a very, it's a very elitist system right now. It's not representative at all. Two other things I want to get to before I have to let you go. The Senate actually has created a DOGE committee, for lack of a better term. Our friend
we call it COGE.
COGE, right? Yep. Yep. Our friend Senator Renee Erickson is chairing that. I talked to her the other day. She's having a whole lot of fun finding stuff to cut. I by the way, kudos, because that's you. That's takes Senate President. Yep. You created that. Can you? I mean, are you guys having some fun there? Are you finding some? I guarantee you can find some things to cut.
Oh, there's yeah. I joke with my friends. We're not going to find $50 million for condoms in Gaza. But hey, we've got a lot of room to move, right? I mean, it's just there's actually so much there. We opened up a portal to the public. We've had like literally thousands of submissions. And I'll admit some of them are, you know, something profane about Trump or abolish all government. But there's a lot of people really giving us good ideas, right, about what we can look at. I mean, I'm really more excited for COGE next session, right? We're learning right now.
Right.
We have some low-hanging fruit we're going to go after, you know, kind of funded but unfilled FTEs and things like that we can get some low-hanging fruit on. But the big changes are going to be coming after our interim, where we're evaluating all this interaction. And by the way, even if for your audience, if you're out there and you're interacting with the bureaucracy of Kansas government, I want to know about it. I don't care if it's even small to you, like licensing or permitting or, you know, something like that. We want to know, and we want to make that more efficient. We've even talked about, we joked internally, we probably should have said government effectiveness instead of government efficiency in the committee name, because should we efficiently be doing something we don't even need to do at all?
maybe
we need to look at that, right? But yeah, that's one of my highlights. I'm excited to see what we can come out of there.
I think you would agree the number one issue, I mean, the notices are coming out this week. The number one issue, the last election recently, actually for a number of elections, has been taxes, property taxes in particular. I know it's actually an area you and Dan have worked so well together over the last few years, and yet this is the one area where it seems like there's some daylight between the House vision and your vision.
I think
where do you see you guys coming together?
So we definitely will get to an amendment. I mean, because property is a big issue. I mean, I have a single mother. My daughter's a single mother, has her own home. She just, I mean, literally called me this last week and said, "Dad, my house payment just went up another, you know, $150.
Yep.
And when we went back and looked at it, it was property tax. Right. And it's like, and she's not had this big raise at work. So, I think where our disconnect is right now, and we'll work through it, is the Senate's a little more concerned about kind of taxing unrealized gains. You know, people that have been in their homes a long time but have fixed incomes and haven't been able to sustain. But that would create a constitutional amendment on the valuation side. We're allowing people to stay in their homes longer. The House is more interested in kind of a rolling average, taking the peaks out of it. The good news is we will have something that benefits the Kansas people long term. The difficulty, as you know, John, at the state level with property taxes, all of it's local.
Right.
We passed a bill that just removed the state altogether. Really, only thing the state had in there was the 1.5 mills for like state buildings, right? Educational
right. Yeah.
And institutions. So we took that off just on principle. I can't go out to my constituents and say, hey, I delivered $60 million in tax relief, which is that is the amount and what was delivered. But, you know, if you have a USD, a city, a county, a library board, a community college, eat that up, my constituents aren't going to see relief. So
it's a pittance.
We're really long term. Yes, we have to get into the how it's done into a constitutional amendment.
Yeah, you're right, because it's a pittance. The state portion, when you factor in primarily the schools and then local and county governments here. Well, Ty, I appreciate you, as always, coming on. You know the last question. You know what it's going to be. You're not going to answer it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When we were in Goodland, there were two or three people who were running for governor. Are you going to be one of those people? And you're not going to answer the question, but I'm going to ask.
Here's what I'll tell you. I am humbled and honored to be in on people's minds when they think about that. I do have 6 weeks of session left. However, I will tell you, and this is the first time I've told anybody anything like this, I don't know of anybody and haven't heard anybody that is in or getting in that I think can bring Trump-style changes like I could if I did it. So we'll evaluate that as soon as we're out of session.
That's a great answer. And, Phil, by the way, that's what you call the campaign two-step right there. So, Ty, I appreciate you. I love you as always. You're a dear friend. If folks want to get and connect with you, if they want to watch your announcements as they may or may not come out, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Well, you can find us on Instagram, you can find us on Facebook, you can just go straight to the website, or you can email ty.masterson@senate.ks.gov. We'd love to hear from you.
Brother, I appreciate you. Say hello to your better nine-tenths.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend. Bye.
We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will join us to bring us an update on their recent legislative victories and tell us about a couple of upcoming events. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP has an exciting rally with Congressman Ron Estes coming up as part of the Protect Prosperity Initiative. It's coming up next Saturday, the 8th. If you want to make your voice heard, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. Great way to get involved. AFP Kansas are great folks. And while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show on Facebook and True Social and on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget, next Sunday we'll be in Topeka, thanks to my friends at Eck Insurance. With us now is a dear friend. I've known her for a long time, all the way back from when I was in the legislature, and she used to harass me when to make sure I was voting the right way, which, by the way, I always did, is Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. Brittany, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on this show.
Thanks so much for having me. And you know that I harass and love.
Yes, yes, you do. And fortunately, I've never been on the bad side of
no,
of,
you haven't.
No, I'm not a Schreiber. I was always on the right side of those votes.
Yes.
You've had a really good session so far. I've been going through, I mean, you had the Given Name Act, which just passed recently. That teaches, by the way, for folks who don't know, basically it helps affirm a teacher's First Amendment rights, requiring schools to use a student's birth certificate name, gets rid of the pronoun nonsense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it puts the power back in the hands of the parents, and it ensures that teachers' First Amendment rights are protected. It's super simple when people actually look at it and read it for what it is and don't try to make it something that it's not. And it's common sense to most Kansans. And so it's kind of shocking to me when we've gotten some weird opposition from some weird places. You know, whenever we talk about schools in Kansas, it brings up some interesting feelings for people. But this is a really common sense bill that most Kansans agree with. So that just, it passed the Senate last week, and we're getting it moving in the House this week, which should be really exciting.
Well, and then flipping from the House to the Senate, you just passed out of the House 85-34, the Helping Moms and Supporting Babies bill. That was a KFL, and you guys worked with KFL on that one, didn't you?
Yeah, so I mean, we've had a great partnership with KFL over the last couple of years of really advancing this culture of life and these bills that, you know, help moms, that support babies. And this bill is, it ensures that pregnant moms can receive child support during their pregnancy to help cover pregnancy related expenses.
Novel concept here. I mean, this is all common.
Idea.
Both of these are very common sense. And I guarantee you the Democrats were pulling their hair out on both of them.
Well, and that's what the opposition, they're like, we just can't figure out what they're doing here. They've got to be doing something bad. And you're like, we're not. We're just trying to help moms.
You have a couple of events coming up here next month. You've got one on the 13th, the Hero film. This is on Sunday, April 13th at 3, which is good because then you can still tune into the show. But that's at the Orpheum Theater, correct?
Purpose.
You did that on purpose.
Yes,
I don't buy that, but I'll take it.
I didn't plan that timing, but I think they knew. No, we're really excited about that event. To me, really highlighting the educational freedom and school choice movement throughout Kansas. And I think it's going to be just a beautiful time to really celebrate what the Lord has done and what we can do in the future together.
And then you've got a legislative summit coming up on April 26th. By the way, I'll have information on both of these events on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But you've got a legislative summit that's on April 26th at the Barn in Great Plain, correct?
That's correct. I think that event starts at 6:30. There's more details that'll be coming out soon, but the person on just before me, Senator Ty Masterson, will be one of our speakers.
Oh.
And we've invited the federal delegation as well as a lot of local leaders in Wichita to talk to people about what they're doing, how they're advancing the cause of family, faith, and freedom in their individual arenas. But we think that it's going to be a great night to really inspire people to get involved and to learn what's going on in their own community. So be on the lookout for more information about that.
Well, you guys always have great events. I know I've got the event on the 26th on my calendar. I will try and make the film. I generally do my show prep in the afternoons on Sundays, but
okay,
you know, we'll see. Maybe I'll tweak my schedule to see if I can make the movie as well. But if folks are interested, if they want to volunteer, if they want to help, if they want to get engaged with some of your policy work or some of the education that you guys are doing, they can find you at KansasFamilyVoice.com. Correct?
That's correct. Or follow us on Instagram or Facebook, but or Twitter even. Reach out to us, get connected. We would love to get you involved. We've got, you know, we've already passed the Help.Harm Act and it already became law last week, but we've got a lot more things on the policy front, but also a lot of ways we're engaging in the community, especially in Wichita, to really activate the church, activate families, and try to help families across the state.
Well, and I, again, kudos. I gave Dan a big hug at the convention, and kudos to you as well on finally overriding our middle of the road governor, who seemed to think that minors should be able to chop off body parts.
Wild.
Yeah. You know, what can you say? She's middle of the road, right? Yeah. Not. Brittany, thank you again. Always a pleasure. We'll keep us in the loop, all right?
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, I'll play my exclusive interview with Senator Roger Marshall. We talked a little earlier this afternoon about his town hall in Oakley and lots of latest news out of Washington, D.C. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.